Welcome to the Ira Kaufman Podcast, the May 7th edition, and there are a couple of things to note right out of the gate before we get cooking with the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Ira Kaufman. First, the podcast was recorded late last night, very late, and of course, before we had news that broke a little bit after noon today that Jason Pierre-Paul probably needs surgery for his neck, serious neck injury, and he'll probably miss the season. That's what it looks like. So, we didn't know that, but we did talk about JPP and the car accident and that we suspected it was something more serious. So we do get into it, and that's later in the podcast. So we appreciate you listening there, and I didn't want anybody to think up front that we just recorded this because we got JPP in the headline, but we do talk about him, and we'll get much more on that tomorrow when we record again. Now, the podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, more than 73 years of Ed Morse quality and service across the great state of Florida. The Memorial Day sale is running all month long, but it doesn't go to next month. It's this month, EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. We'll talk much more about them later in the podcast. Here's Ira.
Yeah.
All right, the Ira Kaufman Podcast is rolling. It's rookie camp week, but we got plenty of other things to talk about. Sage, as you sit there in your Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon Black.
What color do I have on, Steve? I'm colorblind. I don't even know what the hell I put on. You should see my socks. One green, one red.
Is that why back in Brooklyn they used to call you Rainbow Kaufman? Is that the deal?
I don't know. My wife says my mother put my socks on until I was 15. That's what she likes to say.
50?
15.
I got you. All right,
this
Sage.
Is not shtick.
Better socks than underwear, Steve. Better socks than underwear.
This is not shtick?
It's not shtick.
Oh, wow.
My wife claims that my mother put my socks on before I got out of bed till I was 15 years old. I dispute that, Steve. I think not a day over 14. Not one day over 14.
Well, I'll make you feel good. You know who else was allegedly colorblind? Al Davis.
Albert Einstein?
Al Davis.
Oh, Al Davis?
Al Davis. I don't know about it. Albert, it may have been. I don't know.
Just pod, baby. Just pod, baby.
Now, I got one more question to ask.
Just podcast.
I hope you can tell the difference between black, what you're wearing, and Hooters orange.
I can. It's mostly a red-green issue. Now, a lot of people say, how do you know about a red light when you're driving? Well, I memorized it. I memorized what the hell it looks like. That's the only reason.
Well, first off, it's always the top light.
You got me all mixed up over there, DeKemper.
All right. Laughing right there. That's the voice of Lee DeKemper of Joe Bucks fan. I'm Steve Isbitz. And, of course, the Sage is in the house. Ira.
I might not be able to tell red from green, but I can tell a 5-11 team from a 13-3 team. How do you like that, Isbitz?
A lot of stuff going on in the world
of
the Bucks.
Don't even go, it's me. It's me, baby.
There's always a lot of stuff going on. Always a lot of stuff going on. Ira, I need your sage wisdom here because there's something going on with Bruce Arians. I'm not quite sure what it is. But it applies because we're starting with mini camp on Friday, and from the time
rookie mini camp,
Friday. Now some teams have already had it, but Arians has his rookie mini camp Friday, and then the Bucks have the earliest mandatory mini camp, and I confirmed with the Bucks today that they are not hanging out after mandatory mini camp to, you know, for a few days of meetings. They are bailing a week earlier than usual. They're starting rookie minicamp on the late side, and this is the most compact OTA schedule in the NFL. The only guy who's close, like super close, is Freddie Kitchens, who's an Arians disciple up in Cleveland. What do you make of this? What's he trying to do?
Lee, the answer is very obvious. Do I have to state the obvious?
Yes.
They don't have a big enough staff to take care of these things. These things are slipping through the cracks over here, Isbitz. I want another four administrative assistants, and I want them in place by Friday. Now, Lee, they do have a very early mini camp. I think it might be June 5th, June 6th, something like that. Then they're gone, Lee, for like 7 weeks. Usually you're gone for about a month. These guys might be gone for 7 weeks. We don't have the date for reporting date, but
well,
it's always late July.
You're always gone 6 weeks. That's the league rule. But he's doing 7 weeks.
This may mean something I don't know. I could be wrong. I used to think that training camp began X amount of days before the first preseason game. Bucks played the Steelers' first preseason game. Mark Caboli, the Athletic, the Steelers beat writer, I saw him on Twitter weeks ago. 25th.
That might be right, Lee.
25th of July is when the Steelers training camp starts. So that might be the barometer with the Bucks.
On the serious side, Arians knows what he's doing. He's been through this before. He's not a neophyte head coach. He was in Arizona for 5 years. He knows what he wants, and he set it up the way he wants. If it all works out, nobody's going to be complaining that they had the mandatory mini camp in the first week of June instead of the second week of June.
You know, he could have the team hanging around an extra week, in a sense, you know, being around the building, but he's opting not to. I don't know what that means.
He wants to get on that boat, Lee. He's got a boat waiting for him.
Yeah, in Georgia.
And,
yeah.
a little golf and, you know, having a good time.
All right, Sage, since we've last convened here, and of course, you can listen to the past podcast. Last episode was a long one. I know you love that,
and that's
Ira.
When Lee weighed in on the Devin White pick, official Devin White pick.
Oh, we had all kinds of stuff going on there. The podcast can be found right there at Podbean.
Lee, you handled yourself very well, very, very well in that episode.
Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, other platforms. You can subscribe. The last month, Ira, in April, the iTunes reviews.
Uh-oh.
Absolutely the funniest yet. It's funny because it's like, of course, these aren't scripted or choreographed. They're real people signed into iTunes. Lovely, hate Lee.
Like, oh, I figured I was getting killed.
50-50. No.
Lee's a lightning rod?
People smacking you around, thanking Lee for being a voice of reason.
Of all people.
It's all over the place. It was.
And you don't get a mention. You're the silent partner in this whole thing.
Not usually I'm out of the mix. Yeah, out of the loop.
Well, you depressed me before the podcast even started, Lee, because there's been no movement on the top 50. Nancy Grace's place is secure, and I'm still chasing,
Stephanopoulos.
I'm still chasing Hein Butt over here.
All right, Sage, I have a question for you, and I want your reaction, obviously, but I'm trying to not get you to think too much about this. So here's
what a setup, Lee. What
here's
setup.
The quote. Clyde Christensen on Jameis Winston. This was the first thing Christensen said in his news conference. On Jameis Winston, he's been extremely well coached.
He should have stopped right there and walked off the podium and yielded to the next man. You know what that means? That probably means that he's as good as he's going to get, Lee. That ain't a message Buck fans want to hear.
Yeah, that basically it's a affirmation. There we go. An affirmation that Cutter wasn't the problem?
Well, look, for our listeners, we should mention Clyde Christensen. This is his second time around
here
at One Buck Place. He worked at old One Buck Place on Dungy's staff. I believe he was swept out with Dungy in 2002 mm-hmm. as Mr. Gruden came in and had a whole new staff on offense. Smart enough not to mess with Monty Kiffin, Gruden. But that was it for Christensen. I think he might have went on with Dungy to Indianapolis.
He did.
I think he did. Where he worked with a guy by the name of Peyton Manning, right? So
and Tom Moore.
That's a crazy statement from Christensen. I hope it gets better from here on out.
All right, Sage. Christensen, of course, comes here from Miami, where they fired him in the preseason last year.
Fired in the preseason?
Yeah, he was the offensive coordinator in Miami last year, but they made him the scapegoat. He wasn't calling the plays. It's just, you know, Adam Gase in there, whatever. Anyway, I got one other quote for you, Ira.
Hold on. Let me weigh in one thing on with the Kemper here for a second.
Please do.
Lee, as far as the offense and the philosophy, and Winston in particular, is it possible they might have too many voices going on over here? You know Arians, he ain't going to stay out of this thing. He's the quarterback whisperer, according to his book. You got Leftwich calling the plays, former quarterback. You got Christensen with a long history of working with quarterbacks.
Bad quarterback.
Lee, is there a possibility that they're gonna trip over themselves in this effort to get Winston to the next level?
It is, and, you know, I'm tired of the talk. I'm tired of the talk. You know, Jameis is a hard worker. Okay, fine. A plumber's a hard worker. You know, that's an old saying. That's a habitual.
But there's talent to work with, Lee. There's talent.
Yeah, there's
to
talent
work
to work with. I'm at wit's end about all the talk and this and that.
You've always been a Winston supporter, Lee.
I am, but I can also see. You know, I'm not blind. I can also see what very likely could be the end of the road after this year if Winston has a subpar year. In part, to use your theory, he's got too many cooks in the kitchen.
And the Bucks have a subpar year.
And I'm not exaggerating here. We can have a thorough house clean. The Glazers are like, we're not bringing Winston back. We've seen enough. Arian said, why didn't he come here for a rebuild? Bye-bye. Leftwich, that would be two quarterbacks in a row he failed with in two seasons. Don't make any excuses for Jeff Rosen. If Josh Rosen was any kind of quarterback, they wouldn't have gotten rid of a first-round pick and then drafted another quarterback overall first round.
Steve, I can hear some of the listeners saying, There they go. They're too negative. The Kemper's talking about blowing up the whole thing.
If negative is reality, then I'm sorry.
There's a lot of things in play. That's all.
No, there's so much in play. I've been watching some, going back, watching some of these Arizona games, and we've done it before. I'm going to give Leftwich a mulligan personally on last year. He didn't take over till like eight games in.
He was still the quarterback coach.
Yeah.
I mean, he can't be blameless in what happened with Rosen. And now someone on
Rosen wasn't awful.
He wasn't awful.
He wasn't awful. He was better also when Leftwich came
in. You couldn't say he was a success. Otherwise, they wouldn't have, you know, it's unprecedented that a team got rid of a quarterback they traded up for in the first round again.
Unless they think Kyler Murray's the next Russell Wilson. He's got to be that good.
I get it. He better be that good. Now, I will say this. On someone on JoeBucksFan.com, they said, Kyler Murray fits Cliff Kingsbury's scheme better. No. These people obviously didn't watch Texas Tech. They didn't watch Texas Tech had a bunch of stiff. Pat Mahomes is not a running quarterback. And, oh, by the way, Kyler Murray left Kingsbury. He left. He went to Oklahoma. And you can make an argument he was not a run-around quarterback. He was a drop-back quarterback. So, no, I don't agree with that at all. But, I mean, they gave up on Rosen. I mean, let's call a spade. They gave up on Rosen. Why'd they give up on him?
They traded up to get him, Steve.
Yeah,
they traded up to get Rosen.
I get it.
So something didn't click. Something spooked them. Leftwich is a quarterback coach. You can't tell me he's blameless. You cannot tell me he's blameless.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I watched the All or Nothing series. I know Lee's watched it. I probably even watched some of it multiple times. I'm sure Lee's watched segments of it. Look, Bidwell out in Arizona, he might have just said, I want Murray in here, and he calls the shots over there.
He's a little heavy-handed.
So.
And maybe he wants a little juice at the box office.
It may not have been a football thing entirely whatsoever. So there's that. All right, back to the Bucs.
And by the way, I've got nothing against Leftwich. You know, obviously I want him to do well. I got nothing against Leftwich. I'm just being objective here. If I'm the Glazers, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Jameis went in a tank this year, and your previous quarterback you worked with, they got rid of him. Why should I keep you?
Okay.
Well, Jameis was very well coached, Ira. We know that by the previous regime, so we're going with that. Now, one thing I wanted to say about Jameis, I was going to take you into another quick reaction quote, Ira, but I remember at the owners' meeting in March, I asked Arians about, you know, worried about Jameis overworking himself because Arians keeps, you know, jacking up Jameis first.
Here comes another Christensen quote. Well, I can just see you teeing it up.
Well, Arians said, oh, no, he's not worried about him outworking. I was around Peyton Manning, and Manning was there till 9 o'clock and this and that, and, you know, he's not going to outwork himself. Okay, I asked Cutter the same question twice during his regime. Cutter's like, looking at me like I'm an a-hole. And I ask him, Jameis is going to work too hard. No, I'm not worried about that. All of a sudden, in comes Leftwich and Christensen. They're basically talking about we got to get Jameis out of the building and away from football. He's working too hard.
More is not necessarily better.
What's going on? I'll never forget Rondae Barber telling me, Josh Freeman, oh, yeah, he's there. He's first there usually, and he's working hard. I don't know what he's doing, but he's working hard. That's what Barber had told me about Freeman. What's your sense here?
We found out that was a con about Freeman,
yeah,
by the way.
Lee, my first take is, you know, it's one of the first things I always say in support. If he doesn't make it, it ain't going to be for lack of trying.
Mm-hmm.
And until I hear that he's no longer the first guy among the first guys in the building, now he is the first guy. Cutter said he couldn't beat him in. Cutter's not lying about it. Mm-hmm. Until I hear differently, I still got to give the guy the benefit of the doubt that, you know, with the base of talent that he has, which is a lot of it is untapped, and not harnessed. When you work that hard, you know, you kind of root for the guy to succeed. It's not like the guy's, you know, jaking it. Here comes Christensen saying Moore's not necessarily better. We got to rein him in a little bit. Unusual to hear that from the coaching staff. I don't quite know what to make of it.
Well, here's something. I'm going to just throw this out for both of you guys. Let people in kind of like inside baseball of these press conferences. Only an inept organization has coaches take the podium and not, at least for a couple minutes, speak with someone in the media relations department. Often these messages are crafted.
Beforehand.
Yes.
Beforehand.
If people watch the video, sometimes they'll show the coach, the TV videos, not so much Buccaneers.com, but the TV videos, they'll sometimes show these guys walking in from a door. Well, behind that door is a hallway, and more often than not, we see media relations members huddled up with a person who either just came off the podium or is going on the podium, kind of going over things.
Little podium prep over there, Lee.
Little podium prep. It almost smells like not a canned response, but a crafted message, because it's very consistent. Now, why they would craft that message, I don't know. Especially, as Steve said, Cutter and Arians are both on record. Nah, he can work harder. All of a sudden, you got assistants saying, well, you know, we got to cut back. I come in, James's truck's there. More is not better. So why? This is a crafted message, I think. But why that was crafted that way, I do not know.
You know who's not crafted? The safeties coach. You stay with them, Isbitz. You don't let that guy.
All right, calm down, Ira.
Calm down. The guy's fabulous. I got to get him on a podcast.
I don't know. I'm not sure the Bucks craft much, but I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith either way. However, they do usually go over with these coaches. Hey, you're probably going to get X and Y and Z question. This is the company line, you know, and maybe they come up with some other things too. I don't know. Like you said, Ira, you nailed it when you just said, I don't know what to make of it. I don't know what to make of Christensen saying that either, because he and Leftwich saying the same thing, but head coach.
Well, Lee, how about this one? Christensen, as part of Dungy's entourage, as part of the group that turned this franchise around, let's give him credit, may not have made it to a Super Bowl, but they turned them from a laughing stock to a perennial playoff team. Nobody can deny that. Facts are the facts. Christensen's part of it. And what did Christensen see? The message that was sent directly from the top, from Dungy himself. I don't want you here till 10 o'clock at night. Get the hell out of the building. He didn't say hell. Get out of the building and go kiss your wife and tuck your kids in. Mm-hmm. Now, if that's the way you were brought up, professionally speaking, maybe that's Christensen extending that to Mr. Winston.
And Arians is, interestingly, just to connect dots here for people.
Arians could be like that, too.
And who worked together in Kansas City? Who roomed together in Kansas City? They roomed together.
Excellent point.
Arians and Dungy. Now, where they got that from, Arians is a big Bear Bryant guy. Dungy's a Chuck Noll guy. If that was a consistent message that old school coaches had, I don't know.
So this is the anti-Dick Vermeil.
Well, it's an
Arians. Joe Gibbs, yeah.
And Joe Gibbs.
It's an Arians thing. He's said before, you know, in past years, I think his fun quote goes something like, if you haven't figured it out by 9 o'clock, you're never going to figure it out, or you don't know what you're doing. All right, Sage, I'm going to run another quick quote past
you. In other words, work smarter. Work smarter.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, this comes from the O-line coach, Joe Gilbert.
Am I going to like this, Steve?
You're going to like Joe Gilbert.
Well, you know, we never heard George Warhop, Dirk Cutter, players. They always love the effort. Gilbert very calmly says he watches last year's film, and it told him that the Bucs offensive lineman didn't, quote, finish enough plays.
Got to finish, my friend. Got to finish. You know, whether you're taking an exam or it's in the bedroom. You got to finish, Lee. You got to finish. Now, wait a minute. We've been focusing on the offensive line in terms of technique. Maybe actual talent, athleticism. Now we got a fourth thing thrown in the mix? Effort? Oh!
Well, a lot of fans have caught the same thing. I'm not saying they're wrong.
The two guys that are manning the left side and the guy manning the middle are making a ton of money, Lee.
Well, three guys. Throw in Jensen as well.
That's what I'm saying. And the guy in the middle. That's a lot of cash, Steve.
And Dotz is not cheap.
It's an interesting sentiment, and of course, the Buccaneers, when you know we all deal with these salary cap issues that we've been studying and thinking about, you have got $20, $30, $45 million tied up between three linemen and the quarterback. That's a lot of cash. I'm sorry, $55 million.
Lee, of all people, you've heard me talk about this for 3 years now, almost 3 years. July will be 3 years that I've been with this August organization.
August
and growing, leaps and bounds. Lee, you know my pet peeve, the O-line. I never vary away from it. Maybe because I love to talk to those guys, because they're good talkers.
Yeah.
They're smart. They don't like to talk, but when you get them, they're really good. And Bill Muir was a great guy, you know, on Gruden's staff to get the lowdown about what's going on. He's the guy that I think he's the first guy I ever heard use the phrase Joe Bucks fan.
Bill Muir?
He might have said, but he was talking to me one day. And he was talking about the masses out that support this franchise. And he said, what do you think Joe Buck fan out there thinks about? And that was about, that could have been 2005 before you guys were even born over here. So that offensive line, I think it's an Achilles heel. If anything's going to sink this team, I think it's going to be a main contributor. I don't see where they've addressed it. you know, Earl Watford notwithstanding, I'm not sure they're not going to pick up a guy near the end, and that guy's going to end up starting on this offensive line.
Wouldn't surprise me.
You know. Steve, here we are in the month of May, and you know that Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, has some blockbuster offers. Can you fill us in on some details?
Ira, the Memorial Day offers are running all month long at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Now, that's not next month. That's this month through May. Go to EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com, and, of course, their dealership. You've been there, Causeway Boulevard. So easy to get to. 3 years of routine service, complimentary maintenance on all new 2019s. That's a tremendous value. And, of course, everything comes with the Ed Morse Price Protection Promise. The offers are on the website, including 2019 Cadillac XT5, the beautiful crossover, $266 lease per month. All the details, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. And our good friends over at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Sage, General Manager Brian Danahy, he's reminding everybody, join the 1.2 million customers and counting backed by Morse. You know, Brian Danahy is part of the Ed Morse family, 73 years of Ed Morse quality and service across the state of Florida. And lease a 2019 Cadillac CTS sedan, just $329 a month during their Memorial Day event through May 31st at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, the gorgeous showroom out there. All the offers are on the websites, edmorsecadillactampa.com. Start your shopping right there. If you're in Brandon, out that way, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. Tremendous pre-owned selection. We know how much they support you, Ira.
I've had enough of this Elantra stuff. It's a good car, but I want my Cadillac, Isbits. I want my Escalade. I want this. I want that. Help me, Steve. Help me. But who's next? The kicking coach over here, Isbits? What else you got for me?
Well, yeah, you know, you're throwing what a curveball at me, but you know what? The kicker, this is beautiful. You can't make this stuff up, Ira. So they got a kicking coach, right? And the guy's whole job is to manage the kicking. Obsess, coach.
Chris Bono,
swing
right?
Coach, it's like a swing coach.
Obsessed kicking, right? The guy's got to justify his salary.
Not punting, kicking.
Kicking. Okay, well, turns out Matt Gay, the guy they drafted, yeah, everybody's all hot in the pants. He won top kicker in college football 2 years ago. Not last year, 2 years
ago. Big booming leg.
Big leg, ex-soccer player, you know, was a national caliber youth player, and he switched to kicking. Okay, but here's the interesting thing about Gay, Ira. The guy, when he won best kicker in college.
The Ray Guy Award?
Lou Groza.
Did
you go to college?
You go to college with him?
Great guy was a punter. What the hell am I talking about? He's in the Hall of Fame.
Lou the Toe Groza.
So when he won the Lou Groza Award, Gay had never been to a kicking camp before, didn't have a kicking coach, and was brand new to the whole thing. He was just winging it.
And was doing spectacular.
And was the best kicker in college football. So now he will be micromanaged, Ira, to a level that he has never been before, and he may be awesome, he may be great, but you know what? Is Chris Bonial, the kicking coach, going to be able to say, look, hey, Arians, you know what? This guy's fine, he's in his own world, I'm just going to watch TV for the next month, and when he struggles, I'll get back to him?
Lee, this was beautifully under the category, don't fix what ain't broken, Lee. Mm-hmm. And Chris Bonio, I'm going to give you my advice. Don't be going in there messing with this man right off the bat. See what the heck you got. If there's a fundamental problem, fix it. But don't micromanage, Lee. Don't micromanage and try to justify your salary.
I'm going to ask you something here.
That's like a waitress trying to justify her salary. Oh. You can't do it. You just do your job, and that's the way it is.
If the kicking situation is as chaotic as it has been in the past few years, could the Glazers just finally say, Jason, you're done. Jason Light. I mean, after how many years have they tried? And it's not just been, they, you know, you got a subpar. Horrible.
Can you imagine
horrible.
The final nail in your coffin is you can't find a kicker? It's on your professional tombstone. Because I'll tell you this right now, guys, and you know it's true. Unlike coaches who are recycled.
Mm-hmm.
Every freaking year in this league, GMs are not.
No, they're not.
You get one shot.
I'm going to about this Chris Bonio and Matt Gay and the kicking. About Matt Gay's background, what really disturbed me was he was playing soccer. I guess it was high school or maybe first couple years of college. His soccer coach wouldn't play, let him play football. Those are the type of people who need to be tasered and dragged to a re-education camp. You're a movie guy. Like, you've seen Red Dawn. Those kind of camps.
Absolutely.
I mean, that just sent me to the ceiling when I read that. You would not let a kid play football for soccer. I'm not anti-soccer. You would not let him play America's game. You communist.
Wow, we got a list. I haven't seen Lee like that since they bypassed Josh Allen.
Well, the whole thing was bizarre. I read some pieces of that and going back, it's like, excuse me, the soccer coach didn't own Matt Gay. He can do whatever he wants. It's not a rusher.
If well, he wants to... the implication was you're not going to be on a soccer team if you do that.
This is goofy stuff. All right, Ira, look, here we are. I want to let you know, coming up next podcast, we're going to, in the spirit of Cramerica Industries.
Oh, that's classic.
Have got...
Didn't they drop something out of a window?
The balloon of oil. The balloon of oil.
Let's not have a repeat of that, though, Stevie.
The frozen turkeys. WKRP. Yeah.
But we are going to allow our brand new intern, Zach Seifter, to come in. And, you know, he's a young man trying to break into the media world, young college student.
My first advice, don't go to a newspaper.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Still in college at UF. He's dying to learn from the sage. So we're going to let him ask you a few questions each podcast so you can counsel the young man. And so I look forward to that.
Well, as long as he takes me to some parties in Gainesville, Lee, I'll be glad to lend a hand to the man.
It's kind of like...
Didn't they have a place, the Thirsty Dolphin, that was notorious? Right across from the stadium?
I believe so.
You'd be like Rodney Dangerfield, back to school.
Oh, that was awesome.
That's perfect.
When am I going to meet this young man?
Next podcast, we'll bring him in for his three questions for the Sage. He's been working on it.
His father says he should hang around. I should be his mentor?
That's what he told me, but we'll see.
Oh,
my favorite scene in Back to School, outside of the Sam Kinison scene, my favorite scene was
Rodney
when...
Rodney Dangerfield in that movie, Lee?
He was a star.
It's his own movie.
Stars his own movie.
There you go.
My favorite scene, aside from the Sam Kinison scene, was Sam Kinison portrayed a history teacher, and he freaked out on Dangerfield.
Sam
and young
Kinison
girl.
Was a history teacher?
Yeah, it was great. I'll send you the YouTube. Boy. It was awesome. Anyway, and that actually put Sam Kinison on the map. Letterman helped, but when Sam Kinison was on that movie, he was on the map.
Well, I'll tell you another guy that was on the map in a school situation, Jeff Spicoli.
Yeah.
Nobody knew who he was. It was a brilliant cameo role and sprung Sean Penn to stardom.
His dream was to have Van Halen play at his wedding.
Remember he ordered a pizza? Spicoli.
Yeah.
Ray Walston was the guy, the teacher. Yeah.
My favorite Martian.
You may continue with that.
And Back to School, my favorite scene was Rodney Dangerfield's with a couple of girls and Lou, his chauffeur. And I can't remember the guy's name, but he played an old mobster in The Sopranos. Can't think of his name. But anyway, he was the chauffeur. The girls come to the table, and Lou's sitting there, and he goes, "Girls, I'd like to introduce you to Lou. Lou, these are girls."
I don't think I'm going to have to do that with the young, what is it, Zach?
There you go.
Young Zach. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to have to do
that. All right, Sage, just wanted to warn you, but you're at no shortage of life lessons.
There's going to be all buck questions. There may be some personal stuff thrown in.
Should I
be ready for anything?
His job is to learn from you, so we'll see.
I might need a little podium prep before I, a little pod prep over there.
All right, Ira.
What else you got on
your Monday column, I threw the headline on there, The Optimist's Guide to the Postseason.
Is that the only time you're going to use that word on one of my columns, Steve? Optimist?
No, not at all. Not at all. Ira, you know, we all grow into our optimism if it's warranted when we see the team and what happens.
Rookie. Wasn't I leading the bandwagon at 2-0 under Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, you
go,
were
go,
mocking me. Yeah, yeah, you were mocking me.
All right, Sage. So your mindset writing that column, I know you wanted to address, hey, there is a lot of reason for optimism.
What if some things go right?
And number one, which you've mentioned 100 times, and frankly, Team Glazer talked to me about in Arizona. Hey, every year, teams come out of the cellar in the NFL and get to the playoffs. Every single year it happens. The Bills were in the playoffs 2 years ago. So, you know
and the
what?
The Browns might be in it in 2019.
You sort of laid out a couple of things there. And how do you feel about that? How is your reaction?
Lee, doesn't it have to happen, as we go on towards the new millennium? Doesn't it have to happen before, 2050? That the Bucks make the playoffs? Of course. The question is when. And in a way, Lee, it makes it even more frustrating for Buck Nation to see these other teams come out of freaking nowhere. The Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo.
You tell me they got more talent on their roster than the Bucks? I mean, they draft terribly for the most part. They don't have a quarterback. And the Bills make the playoffs. And the Bucks are in the basement again.
I got to be honest. I mean, no division has three potential Hall of Fame quarterbacks. That's a hell of an obstacle. I'm not giving the Bucks any slack about that, but it is what it is, as Brooks would say. That's a hell of an obstacle. In Buffalo, look at New England. One of the Belichick's the best coach that ever lived. I've come to that conclusion.
That's tough for you to say that.
Yeah,
I know that.
But I got to be honest, got to be objective, got to be fair. But look at the quarterbacks in that division the last 15 years.
Bills.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he was playing Staubach and Kilmer and Jim Hart.
Jets, Bills, and Dolphins. No quarterbacks. Steve got no quarterback. They go through him, like tissue paper. Tannehill stuck around a little bit, but he's middle of the road
at best.
The team is more than the quarterback, and the quarterback plays for less than what he's worth, which makes it even worse.
Did I shock you, Steve, with my fifth guy that I was going over things that might happen in a positive light? I came up with Mike Edwards. Steve, you know why? Because that safety coach, who we both love, and you say he's a guy out of Goodfellas.
Coach Rapone.
Lee, you were there. He couldn't stop talking up Mike Edwards. He's this. He's that. He picks up the playbook in a second. He can blitz. He can do that. Now, Kentucky had a pretty good defense.
Yeah, he did.
Part of that's Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. Maybe a big part. But Allen had some help, and this guy was the stud of the secondary. They roughed up the Gators. You know, Kentucky, they kicked a little gator butt. So, Steve, I think that nickel job's wide open. You got MJ Stewart, who Jason Light's hoping like heck wins the job, but he may not. This Edwards kid has a shot. The nickel's a key position, Steve. It's been lacking here for far too long, Lee. The slot corner. I mean, a good one.
Well,
since Rondé left.
Well, you know, Mike Smith was blowing smoke like Vernon Hargreaves was manna from heaven. Granted, he got hurt right away.
Let's calm down over here now. Come on now. That's like putting Devin White in the Hall of Fame. That's what that's like, Steven. Putting Devin White in the Hall of Fame.
This playoff drought, what's going to happen first? The Bucks make the playoffs or Tampa Bay loses a newspaper?
Ooh.
You saw that Wall Street Journal story.
Yes, I did. Yeah, you sent it to me. And we take no pleasure out of it.
No, I don't want to see it go under, not at all. But that's the way things are headed. And by the way, when people on Twitter, oh, you're too negative. We continue to grow.
Didn't the New Orleans Picayune just get zapped, Steven, last week?
Yep.
Devastating.
Bought out and folded like a cheap suit.
People got 2 months to get a paycheck. Then they're out.
Man.
Then they could reapply for their job.
That's low.
You know what that means? One out of 20 of those people will get hired.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe.
Hopefully things will fill the gaps.
It's
funny
because this little paper came into town. Well, I guess the Baton Rouge paper started a New Orleans edition.
Did they?
Yeah. It's called The Advocate. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's The Advocate. Okay,
that's
okay.
The Advocate.
Yeah, the guy bought it.
And there's big money behind it.
The
See,
politician.
You got to have the big money behind it.
Yeah, you got to be willing to lose money.
like the New York Post. That's a perfect example.
Well, they're losing
money. A fortune.
Losing well, Daily News did lose
Does Murdoch fortune. Care? No. No, doesn't care.
No, yeah, that guy bought the paper and then opened up a New Orleans edition to compete and... whatever. We don't have to go there. Sage, now look.
Are we gonna talk about the quasi-defensive tackle of this football team?
Well, question one. Jason Pierre-Paul, car accident, puts up some cryptic stuff on Instagram. He's going in for mental health, jokes around about that, mental repair. We don't really know exactly what happened.
I know what Lee's thinking.
Yeah.
So do you.
You know, car accident.
He's thinking Kendall Beckwith. That's
yep.
what he's thinking.
I was thinking B.J. Askew, the big fullback. You remember him here a few years. I think he made it as a Pro Bowl alternate. Chucky went into the Raheem years, and guy had supposedly a simple car accident, never played again.
You don't have any reason to think that it's serious. We don't.
I don't have any reason to think, but the Bucks have been, I'm hesitant to say, if everything was okay, we would have got text from someone saying it's all good. Don't worry about it. I haven't gotten any text. I haven't gotten any email.
The three of us, nor anybody that wears pewter, wants to think about this team in 2019 without JPP. You don't want to think about it.
Well, hopefully he's okay. I thought maybe he had some insight, but And I know I'm reaching on this one, but JPP, he's the first to tell you.
He's a warrior.
Well, he's also the first to tell you that he's not much of a football fan. He didn't grow up a football fan. He's not football obsessed.
But he's a professional.
I understand that, but I'm saying that, you know, if a guy like JPP, he battled, he wanted to come back, but if he had a small injury that he felt took him down a notch, I'm not sure he'd necessarily be so so intense
motivated
to come back again.
Beckwith, we knew, hurt his ankle right off the bat. We didn't know the extent of it.
Well, I think the significance of Beckwith's injury caught even the Bucks off guard because they gave zero indication it was major.
Think you're right.
And now they won't even talk about
it. And as we do this podcast, we still don't know if he's going to be available.
Well, you know, Bruce Arians, if you go back to the videotape, Ira, right before the draft during those OTAs, if you watch his news conference, he does say he hopes to get JPP back next week. And he said that in there. So I wrote it up, and hopefully he will be back next week if that's what Arians expect. But if not, maybe things have changed.
JPP or Beckwith?
No, JPP.
Oh, JPP.
Now,
okay.
I did have somebody tell me, I'll put it out as strictly a rumor at this point, but I had somebody tell me and explain to me how they knew and all that, that Beckwith's definitely done, that he's preparing to retire.
It doesn't sound good, Lee. It just doesn't sound good.
But that's definitely in the rumor category. Now, what's not in the rumor category is Gerald McCoy going out on Instagram and on Cinco de Mayo in an empty gym and walking around sweating and saying, you know, look at me. Don't question my work ethic. I'm working hard.
I got my
kids here, and I'm a good dad, and I'm an all-pro on and off the field, and don't you dare question me, and I'm working my butt off, and I love football. Awfully odd, awfully juvenile, where McCoy has taken the high road so many times. Something got under his skin, Ira, and then, what do you know? 12 hours later, Ian Rappaport, good friend of Bruce Arians, is on television saying, well, it's this isn't an Ian Bruce Arians reaction. It's a reaction to local dissent about McCoy.
He's fed up, Lee. He's fed up, whether you agree with him or not. Those are the facts. He's fed up with portions of Buck Nation that have never forgiven him for not being number 99. We know that's a factor. He's fed up with losing. But he could handle all that until his own coach is telling people, you know, while he's biting into his eggs and bacon, that 93 is not the same player he was 4 years ago. Again, might be true. Probably is true. It's rare when a coach says that about one of his own players, Lee. A player that you want to keep. It's rare.
Is that one of his own players? He inherited him.
Well, he's been a cornerstone.
Yeah.
Been a cornerstone. I'll say it again. He's going to be in the Ring of Honor. Not in my lifetime, or yours, maybe. He's going to be in the Ring of Honor. I know you gave me that look the first time I ever said that to Kevin.
Yeah, Isbeth is more negative than I'm open-minded.
He's fed up, Lee. He's fed up. They want him to take a pay cut. Significant pay cut. Not $1 million. Maybe five.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to do it. I think his attitude might be at this point, go release me. Somebody's going to take me.
Will they take him at $8 million?
I'll make money, and I'll make the playoffs. Go release me. So I think he's at his breaking point, Lee. And it's not like McCoy to go public like that with his
We don't know, and I don't know who, you know, it was cryptic. McCoy didn't say who he was responding to. For all we know, it could have been some whack job on Twitter or some kook calling him out on Twitter.
In other words, the guy that he's saying, don't doubt me.
Yeah, it could be some, you know, nondescript drunk at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Somebody got to his facade, though. His facade is usually, I'm a jolly guy, I roll with the punches. Not anymore, Lee.
Unloading.
He's not rolling with the punches anymore, Lee.
I don't know what... I saw that video Sunday afternoon. I really didn't know what to take it. I didn't know if he was calling out Arians, a standard fan, Twittered him. I mean, these guys, these athletes, I noticed, especially on Instagram, they love to put out videos of them working out like this. Okay, I'm shoving a sled. That means I'm going to sack Matt Ryan three times. No, it doesn't. But they think that, and they look for the slightest of insults as motivation. They really do. It's like...
They magnify him. They exaggerate.
They blow him up out of proportion, yes. And so I don't know if that's what got under McCoy. I really don't.
Steve, what's going to happen at mandatory minicamp? Do the Bucks want him there? If they haven't released him yet, do they want him there?
Oh, it's just
what's going on?
The whole thing's a clown show, Ira. I don't even know what to say anymore. Look, there's a dozen teams in the league that can afford him right now. Right
or
now,
should they trade for him if they think he's going to be released?
If he's going to hit, if he's going to hit the street, there's probably add a few more teams that can afford him. You don't even know what McCoy wants to do, or if he wants to wait it out till the season starts and pull a Roger Clemens or something. I don't know. It's a mess. They could use him though, Ira, because we watched those coaches on the podium, as you like to call it. Again, they were talking about Will Golston's going to get to eat now, and you know, if you remember that, he's going to get to fatten up. And, of course, we got Big Bo Allen there, who's never played in the 3-4, to the best of my knowledge.
Last I saw Golston, he was eating hummus. Never mind fattening up over there.
That's right. You saw him at that event. Vita Vea hasn't played a whole season. I'm not doom and gloom, but we could use Gerald McCoy on this team. I'm not an anti-McCoy. I'd love to see them figure it out, but I just don't understand the plan. But to me, Ira, the Glazers are blessing all these shenanigans with a guy you say is going to be in the freaking Ring of Honor, a man the Glazers have signed off on having his mural on the facade of the building, and this is how they treat the guy. Why are the Glazers signing off on this?
Because the Glazers are yielding some clout to quite a bit of clout to Bruce Arians, and Bruce Arians isn't quite sure whether he wants McCoy on this team.
Is it as simple as that?
I think it could be as simple as that.
Wouldn't he have an idea?
And I don't think Light, who didn't draft McCoy, is making a strong defense to keep McCoy on this team.
I mean, and Bruce Arians has been here how many months now? You don't think he's made up his mind whether he wants McCoy back or not? I mean, that's like, I know Todd Bowles, who, by the way, had a pathetic press conference the other day.
That's Todd Bowles.
It almost completely turned me off on the guy.
That's what you're going to get, Lee.
I'll quit going to his press conferences because I don't want to get conned. I'm not wasting my time.
He could be a heck of a defensive coordinator.
Well, that's okay, but don't con me. Don't con me. He has the gall when Steve asked him, do you want McCoy on the roster?
I thought I asked him.
Yeah, I think you asked him.
Okay.
Don't confuse me with Ira. Come on.
Isbeth ain't going to ask a pointed question.
I don't look a day over 70.
That. Didn't he say it was over his pay grade, Steve?
I know. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's goofy. We don't know what's going on, Ira. If you get some insight, let us know.
The Glazers have been very strong supporters of Gerald McCoy over the years. That's a fact.
Well, they paid him over $100 million. I'd like that kind of support myself. All right, Ira, look. Rookie minicamp, we are going to talk more about that next podcast because we have one coming up before Friday and Saturday's rookie camp. Other than that, Ira, you know, the Bucks are getting ready for this compact OTA after OTA session, and then they're going to say goodbye, and before you know it, it'll be time for training camp again.
You know, just looking ahead a little bit to a late July, and I don't really think this matters, but it's just a point to be made. The Peter Kings, you go down a notch to the Pete Priscos, Prickly Pete, guys like that. And there aren't that many that go around from camp to camp, not nearly as many as there used to be.
Yeah,
not
it used to be a bunch, right?
Used to be a bunch.
Yeah, Peter King wasn't even there last year.
Last couple of years, hasn't been, has he?
So what I'm saying is, you know, you might get Kerwin and Jim Miller. But what I'm saying is, again, the lack of buzz. They're not coming here to see Devin White. You know,
I don't think
national radar. He doesn't make an impact right now.
The last time I saw Jason Lockenfora here was Freeman was quarterback.
Wow, that's a long time.
And Grella shut him down on an interview. He traveled all the way down here for an interview, and Grella shut him down.
Who do you want to talk to, Freeman?
Yeah.
Wow.
Ira, you know what? Peter King in his Monday column this week, he lumped together Jameis and Andy Dalton in a little box he called average quarterbacks. And that's all the only reference he had to the Bucks, and he hasn't referenced the Bucks in about a month.
Yeah,
it's
Lee. Haven't I said he's middle of the pack? You know, I've said that about Donovan Smith. Mm-hmm. I'll say it about Jameis Winston.
But at least Dalton's been in the playoffs.
Steve, you got to admit, I had some juicy statistical stuff on Winston today. He ranks pretty high in certain categories.
Yes, you were all over the place. You named 20 Hall of Famers.
20 Hall of Famers that have that throw interceptions at a higher rate than Jameis Winston in his career. Now, it was a lot tougher to complete passes in 1974.
Oh, yeah, different game.
when the Snake Stabler was dropping back than it is today. I'll grant that.
But you had Kurt Warner in there and some others.
Yeah,
Kurt Warner
had that many picks?
And his yards per completion?
Percentage of dropbacks picked off. Yeah, wow. Kurt Warner was
Wait, his yards per completion career.
Yeah.
It's 12-something. It's number one among active quarterbacks. Number one. So he's not throwing the little five-yard flares to Ronald Jones, who then drops it. Sorry.
Now, a little disclaimer. Normally, I'll check the data in your columns, Ira, but you had like 37.5 pieces of data.
I did.
Was like, screw it. I'm not looking up any of this stuff.
I did my original research.
I believe you on all that stuff.
Thank you, my friend.
We're going to go with that. All right, Sage, get the hell out of here.
So we got an intern coming in. I gotta gear up for this.
Next pod, he'll just have a few questions for you. All you have to do is spew your wisdom, Ira.
Spew wisdom. Is that an interesting choice of words?
I don't want to corrupt a young man, Lee. Corrupt an innocent, you know, young blank slate from Gainesville. Never had a drink before. Never been on a date before.
Oh.
You like the way I characterize this kid? I don't even know him.
You're killing him.
And if I don't say it to him, Lee's going to say it. Don't get into the newspaper business.
No.
And it kills me to say it, Lee.
Me too.
It kills me to say it.
I mean, I got a journalism degree. I cut my teeth in journalism.